You're with KUOW Seattle. I'm Bill Radke. Here in Washington, you've been able to buy marijuana at the store for almost 2 years. And if you've been doing that, or even buying pot before it was legal, you probably don't need a user's guide to weed. But Seattle writer and performer David Schmader has written one, so I asked him why.
There's the thing of, like, does this need a user's guide? And yes, the basic facts are there, but I guess with the book, I wanted to go beyond basic facts into more etiquette and culture and history and specific effects of weed and particularly what you might do with yourself once you're high. A big thing for me with this book was what I didn't want it to be. And a couple of years ago, I'd been approached to write a book about weed, and I kind of laid down these demands of no cartoon pot leaves, no stoner puns, no forewords by Tommy Chong.
Thank you.
Because that book exists in triplicate all over, and I wanted to write something more like a guide to scotch.
Are you writing for somebody who never smoked pot because it was illegal, and now it's a possibility?
I've learned about this type of person, and I find them very fascinating.
The rule follower.
Yeah, either they're actual lawyers or people who just didn't like breaking the law. And definitely there's this sense that it's a lot stronger, and this idea that not even past experience can be a really good guide. So even if you did smoke in college, it's kind of a new world, so maybe you'll want some pointers.
Okay, let's start with the newbie. If you're going to start dabbling now, because you can, it's legal, at least here, what's your advice? Give me one piece of to-do.
Stick with smoking. It's a very counterintuitive thing. You would think, oh, a cookie is clearly the more benign on-ramp to this experience, but that's not true. Smoking weed, it involves fire, it involves coughing. It's a little grosser than eating a cookie, but the effects land very quickly and they last shorter. When you eat marijuana, it goes through your liver and it gets processed into a different drug that has lightly hallucinogenic properties and lasts for 6 hours. It's a very different experience.
Before we go further, as you say in the book, this is not for children.
Right. Yes. Here's the thing with the book. It's not proselytizing. I don't care if anyone smokes weed except me. Okay. So the government has told us lots of lies about weed. And one of their scare stories that is true is weed is bad for people whose brains and bodies are still developing. It can cause serious problems of either triggering mental illness or learning capability hindrance. This is an adult pleasure.
If you are a grown up, and if you have used, but it's been a while, maybe you used when you did illegal things in college, etc., what should you know about 2016 pot?
There was quite a sport to get the highest percentage of THC in the smallest amount of weed because sentences were prosecuted by weight. So there was great incentive to make very, very powerful pot. And that wasn't the case in lots of people. Like, we grew up with that. They called it skunk weed
skunk
and
weed.
Just little grainy stuff. So know that it can be way more powerful. With the recreational market, they're getting smarter about, oh, people want something that is not going to send them to Mars. They would like something close to skunk weed, especially a certain type of person who's just approaching this. So I'm happy that the recreational market is rolling out these strains that are way friendlier.
If you started in on a high and you're having a bad time, what do you do?
Know that no one has ever died from overdosing on marijuana. Know that you will be fine. Maybe take a bath. I always like that one.
A bath.
It takes some time. You have to fill a tub. Maybe you even have to clean the tub before you get in it. It'll just fill up like 40 minutes of your time and you'll calm down. This is a thing I learned on the internet from Neil Young. Apparently, if you're having a big paranoia attack, take black peppercorns, either crunch them in your teeth or smash them and smell them, and it apparently helps people who are prone to paranoia.
Unless you think there's a DEA agent inside the peppercorn. Now, that could be terrifying. What about pot etiquette? I'm thinking of the party, where up to now, if I throw a party in my backyard, I don't care that there might be a Mormon there or a teetotaler there. There'll be a cooler full of beer and maybe wine, and they're okay with that. Everybody's okay with that. But I still feel that pot at a party, that might be awkward.
How much of this do you think is even about the smell? Lots of people don't like the smell, and the Mormon at your party doesn't smell your drink necessarily. There is a sense of, oh, now it's a pot party. And certainly there can be, if enough people at a party get super baked, that changes the entire mood of the party. And I could see people who don't enjoy weed resenting that. But there is a strange residue where we're in Seattle. It's legal. It should be exactly like talking about microbrews. But it's not yet. And I think that'll just be us living for a few more years in this and figuring it out on a personal level with your friends. But smoking in your backyard also maybe stinks up your neighbor's backyard if the wind is blowing. There's all these things that kind of make you feel like maybe we should be in the basement with a towel under the door, even though it's legal. I would just like people to have the same ability to make the same poor choices with weed that they make with alcohol.
David Schmader's new book, Weed, A User's Guide, is full of information about medical use and safety and legality and recipes. And you can learn more from David himself tomorrow night because he's going to be at Town Hall Seattle at 7:30.